Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 439, Die Trying.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie, and I'm very sick.
I was about to say, you sound a bit under the weather there.
Mm-hmm. I am doing my best.
Well, you showed up. That's good. Mm-hmm.
It's time to shift into sultry mode. Mal was talking to me before we started. She's like, you sound like Katharine Hepburn. I'm like, that'll be perfect for my Janeway impression.
Ah.
Tell me more, Mr. Chakotay.
Except that's not really going to come up much on this show until we get to Prodigy, I don't think. So
you don't know that. Where's Michael? I want to talk to Michael.
Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to talk to Michael. Get in line.
Get Giorgio out of here. She sucks.
She does, but she had a pretty good showing in this episode.
She did. This was the best Giorgio has ever been.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Why don't I first tell you what happened in Die Trying and happened?
Yes, tell us all about Die Trying.
I will. Die Trying is, as anyone who learned a foreign language from classic Simpsons episodes could tell you, German for the trying. But if the entire idea of that concept was trying to have an hour's worth of plot in an hour of screen time, then I fear it's been lost in translation. Disco arrives at Starfleet headquarters, which might also be Federation headquarters now, too. Sure, make your government and your military the same thing. That feels efficient and not at all problematic. Michael, Saru, and Adira beam over to a place that almost certainly drove a certain kind of fan to gripe about lens flares and Apple stores. Shut up. There, they meet Admiral Vance of Vance Refrigeration. Vance is reluctant to believe a 1,000-year-old mystery ship that appears one day and insists that they're friendly and that they can definitely be trusted, because by this point, Starfleet's been around for more than a millennium, and they've learned to spot things like this. I mean, I've only been watching the doings of Starfleet on this podcast for 10 years, and I wouldn't trust them either. Saru attempts to navigate this delicate diplomatic situation with the grace and compassion we've come to expect of him. And how do you suppose Michael Burnham, who spent an entire year in this new future having adventures and won't stop telling us how much she's changed and grown in that year, how do you suppose our formerly rash and impulsive Mike reacts to the Admiral's initial mistrust? Well, she shows immediate signs of irritation, undermining her captain's authority, and later suggests they break a bunch of rules and continue to do exactly what they want. Obviously. Then she holds her breath until she gets her way. Meanwhile, the crew is being debriefed by a bunch of holograms and the esteemed director David Cronenberg. And the Admiral consults some very old Starfleet records for references to Michael Burnham and sees notes from several senior officers that say, you'll save yourself a lot of headaches if you just give anyone from this ridiculous family what they want up front. So he caves and lets Disco go on a mission just before she passes out from holding her breath. So Disco takes Michael, Dr. Culber, see, I do know the character's name and definitely didn't have to look it up just now, and oh, non, why not, to a dentist's office with a bunch of potted plants. Only this is supposed to be a small space station that preserves a bunch of plants, so for once in the entire history of Star Trek, that aesthetic actually makes sense and doesn't just come off as a cheap, half-hearted attempt to evoke a planet. Non gives us a beat or two of character development and backstory, so naturally the episode ends with them leaving her behind. She's not in the show anymore. Then they return to Federfleet Incorporated with that serum that they had to get through. And Saru once again begs Michael to take his authority seriously and not to embarrass him in front of the Admiral. I'll take that under advisement, she lies. And now I've reached my arbitrary, at least write 500 words threshold for a summary. But seriously, this episode could have been an email. Hello?
Sorry about that.
What happened?
I got a telephone call.
Oh, you all right?
Yeah. No, I'm fine. It's spam.
Ah, bloody Vikings.
Ugh.
Nothing happened again.
Just another one of these. I was very excited to, like, you know, see more of Adira, or, like, you know, when we arrive in at the Federation and just, like, you get that shot of, like, here's the space station.
Yeah.
Here's all these modernized ships and everything. I'm like, this is cool. We're really going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
And then we had to go get a serum or a vaccine or...
Okay, so I did sort of gloss over, because really the conflict as such is maybe 5 to 10 minutes of this hour-long episode,
mm-hmm.
which is Michael sees a sick person, says, we can help. Again, they're from 1,000 years ago.
I just like the fact that they're like, we got here today. Why won't you let us help? You got here today, okay? Can we, like, spend a minute discussing the fact that you claim to be from the past and no one has heard of you in over 1,000 years?
Yeah.
Like, can we see some fingerprints or something? And Michael's just like, how dare you not let us do whatever the fuck we want?
We can prove ourselves. There's a sick person. We can heal them. Jesus, Mike. And this is my bad thing.
Uh-huh.
I like Michael. I truly do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
once again, I have to carefully navigate the waters because there's a whole subset of fans who are like using their thinly disguised misogyny and racism to say, I think Michael Burnham is a good character. I do like the character.
Yeah.
But this entire episode is driven by her emphatically insisting that they solve a problem with relatively low stakes. Like, there's a guy who will die, and that sucks. I'm not saying, like, saving a life is bad. What I'm saying is, given that the Federation is holding on by a thread, and you have a crew of hundreds of people who need to be debriefed and so on, saving one guy's life, maybe leave these guys to that.
Mm-hmm.
But then she just throws a temper tantrum until they say, fine, go do it, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Like,
it's just like,
it makes me uncomfortable, particularly because Saru is such a careful, like, deliberate captain. And she's always like, yeah, but what if we didn't do it like that? Oh, my God. Stop.
What if we did whatever I want?
Mm-hmm. And after all that time telling us, like, no, I'm different now. What I saw out there changed me. She's back to exactly the way she was.
Yeah. I really like the part where, like, she meets up with Saru and she's like, okay, they're not letting us do whatever we want. So here's what we're going to do.
We're gonna
going
burgle
to
burgle the place.
Whatever we want, and we're gonna steal what we need. And Saru's like, I'm sorry. Would you back up for a second?
Yeah.
You can't see it but I'm doing elaborate hand motions because I'm Saru.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a word that we use that the Kelpians use. The fuck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We've been here again 5 minutes.
And I know I hit this point a lot, but really, it's easy in science fiction to gloss over this kind of thing. They are from almost 1,000 years in the past. It's like someone showing up in a horse cart. Like, I'm amazed they speak the same language. And okay, you know, hand wavy, universal translator, whatever. That's fine. I don't want them to spend time on that. But the fact is, from 900 and whatever years ago, they probably don't speak the same language.
Yeah,
like,
right?
They're different. They're so different. And like,
I mean,
okay.
It's finding out, like, slang has changed dramatically in my lifetime. And, like, they're going to show up and they're like, well, the Discovery crew clearly isn't the Riz.
Oh, God. Yeah, and it's all...
Sorry, that beat there. We're just like, all right, moving on.
Yeah, I don't... First of all, you're trying to sound like children and you're 40. Uh-huh. Please stop.
Uh-huh.
Second, children probably stopped saying that 5 years ago because we're aware of it now. I just like, and the fact that they return to Starfleet and Starfleet still exists, like, never mind the burn, just the fact that they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, okay, we're going to treat you as though you're still part of this organization. And then them just saying, good, we can just go back out there then. I'm like, no, you work for us. You go where we say. That's why you came here, to get orders, right?
Did they not have the chain of command in the past? Because it's kind of a big deal when you're in the military, I'd like to believe.
It's in the founding documents. It looks like it's been there from the beginning. And some people would run off half-cocked and do stupid shit, but not regularly.
It wasn't a thing we loved when they did it.
I mean, there was this one guy, but he fell in a ribbon. He's not a problem anymore.
Well, he fell in a ribbon? Yeah, it happens. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you fall in a ribbon.
Peter's brother? Okay. But it's, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I, for all the time they spend with their jaws on the floor gaping, and look, I like that. I like, I've said it before, I like this show's sense of wonder. I like the relatively young crew saying, wow, this is some cool shit out here.
Yeah.
Like they're not cynical. They've been through some shit, but they're still excited. And I love that. But this is episode 5 and they're still doing that. But at the same time, no one's really acting like they're 1,000 years in the future.
Yeah, it really doesn't feel like it, you know? It just feels like they went to the next sector over.
Yeah, or maybe they fell asleep for 20 years, Rip Van Winkle style. Like, it's...
Exactly.
This feels, in some ways, like less time between the original series and Next Gen.
It really does, honestly.
Instead of, like, 10 times that amount, you know?
Yeah. This is like, well, we've still got all that stuff that people like, you know, colors and so forth.
I mean, that's fine. Like, yeah, we have transporters and we have starships and we have, like, all the shit that makes it Star Trek. But it should be weirder, and they shouldn't treat these guys like they're not some weird specimens, you know?
There's a bit where they're looking, where they're scanning all the ships, and I think it's Tilly who's like, this one has, like, organic stuff. This one's made out of hologram material. I'm like, that's cool. We don't see any of that, though. It's just her describing it.
Did we have the Voyager, like, I don't know, J?
It's the Voyager J so that Tilly can go, wow, that's the most important ship after the Enterprise.
Except if Voyager, Janeway's Voyager, ooh, good opportunity for a Janeway impression. Here you go.
Did you call? Sorry, I was out getting coffee out of that nebula.
Good to see you again, Admiral. like, if that was the first Voyager, then Tilly wouldn't have heard of it, because that was, like, in Picard's time.
Exactly. No, she's just like, oh, the Voyager. And in just a very, right, guys? The other one you like.
Picard season 3 did that better.
Yep, it did.
But still, this show is not ashamed to be Star Trek, and I do like that. And there's a lot of Star Trek, stuff.
Yes.
And I like all that. But again, they're from 1,000 years ago, and everyone's just acting like they should just be able to go back to work today and do what they want. And the Admiral's like, no. And also, I've been saying for a while, they don't time travel anymore because the temporal Cold War was stupid. This is where he says it explicitly out loud. He's like, yeah, if you're from the past, then technically you're a crime.
Yeah, it is illegal for you to be here.
If you, like, time traveled here, we don't like that shit, because you know who Daniels is? I hope you don't, because I hate that guy.
Maggie knows who Daniels is enough for all of us.
You forgot his name for a minute, and I reminded you, and you're like, oh, that guy.
The thing I did, and, like, as soon as you're like, you know, this guy, it clicked into my head. I'm like, ah, that fucker. God damn it.
Oh, you remember the character. It's just such a forgettable name. I'm not surprised you forgot the name.
Yeah, because his name is Daniels. You can't, like, wave your fist at the sky and go, Daniels.
The exotic future man, Daniels.
Uh-huh. I have chosen a name that you will identify as one of your own. I am Crewman Daniels.
I am Ford Prefect.
Uh-huh.
A funny joke if you have that car in your country, which, oh, you don't? Well, shit.
A lot of people are gonna be confused then.
My good thing, I do love the Admiral very much. Admiral Vance. Yeah. This guy is he was actually the voice of Dr. Fate when we were covering Justice League.
Oh yeah.
He's got a great voice, and he's got an accent you don't hear often. I believe he's Israeli, and I hope I'm not getting that wrong. I'm gonna look that up, but I'm pretty sure that's what the accent is. And he is just fantastic. He's this fucking he's got the gravitas. Like, we always talk about this a lot on this show. Just the people they cast as admirals and captains have to have presence. You have to buy them as an authority figure, and you don't always, but this guy, like there's been a couple of choices in Discovery and Strange New Worlds where other captains or admirals are like 30.
Yeah.
And it's like I don't know that I buy that, but this guy 100%. Absolutely. He's got, also he's hot.
Mm-hmm. He's so hot. Oh my god.
Okay, I wasn't sure because sometimes you know you're not as into dudes. So like I don't.
No, I am not. But I can I can appreciate a fine beard as much as anyone.
Yeah, he's got that like sort of silver fox, salt and peppery kind of thing going on, which you know works for him.
Hello, handsome.
I looked it up, and he is Israeli, so I did get that correct.
Sure, good.
I believe he's got the same. It's you know, using the word exotic is bad, and I'm not going to. That is how I would have described it like 10 years ago. It's just an accent you don't hear very often. So to your ears is like, oh, this is something new to me. I like this. Yeah. It's the same accent I believe that Gal Gadot has. So it's like, oh, this is very pleasant to my ears.
Yeah.
He has that glimmer of Starfleet optimism. Like it's in there, but post burn, it's really buried because like, look, I know what we're out here for, but also we can't do it anymore.
The thing is, it makes a lot of sense that for him to be like a Starfleet guy who's like, yeah, but like, we don't get to do any of the Starfleet stuff anymore. Like,
yeah, and we'll get to that in a sec because you got a real good angle on the good thing there.
He mentions, I think it's like we're in triage or something, and like I really like that.
Yeah, it's like you're lucky that there is a Starfleet at all.
At all,
we're bleeding badly.
I mean, it's been 100 and something years. The thing we do fell off. Like we can't do. We can't seek out new life and new civilizations. No one can drive anymore.
And he looks at Saru and says, nice to see a Kelpian. He's like, oh God, did something happen to the Kelpians? No, they're like 5 minutes further out than we can go.
Yeah, we can't get there anymore.
Yeah, like, which, I don't know. I thought they still had subspace communications. I didn't realize they can't talk to people far away anymore. That's weird, but okay, whatever. Story-wise, it makes sense that you've lost contact. But also the distrust, which I talked about, the skepticism, the you're from 1,000 years ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. The side eye he shoots Saru and Michael is up there in the pantheon of Trek reactions that make great GIFs, like with Spock's eyebrow raised, Picard's face palm, like the fuck? Really? Oh, you're from the past, but you're
the past.
We
huh?
can trust you. Okay.
Ugh. I don't trust anyone from the past. I just want to be very clear about that.
And I don't mean people who lived 1 year per year. We're all from the past in a certain sense. But yes. I mean anyone who time traveled here.
If someone told me they were from 800 years ago, I would be like, I don't know. I bet you have views that I don't agree with.
I mean, people now have that. But, you know, from much longer ago. But to get back to what you were saying, this is your good thing.
Oh, yeah. So at one point, Admiral Vance basically mentions that exploration is a luxury that we can no longer afford, which I think is, one, bad, and two, a really cool place to be dropped in with this new version of the Federation with Starfleet. That is an awesome place to pick up if you're doing what we said weeks ago and basically relaunching the series with a new pilot. Like, that's a really cool place to start off. Like, having our guys show up to be like, this is why exploration is important. This is what the Federation is supposed to be is such a good concept for this series.
And it's also weirdly kind of a restart for the franchise in a way. Like, we still have lots of other shows set, you know, before. But to say we have a clean slate where we're starting Starfleet all over again and building it from scratch, like, that's a good way, because now they're doing a spinoff. The Academy show's based in this future. So, like, they're saying, what if we could rebuild Star Trek again, a little different this time? So, without sort of breaking continuity. Like, that's what the Abrams movies did. But this is just like, no. Same timeline, but, like, it's a little different. I'm like, I like that.
Yeah. The idea that they looked at, like the opening Kirk speech from the original series and went, none of that is possible anymore. We can't do it.
But the quest this season is to get it back. It's not like we're... Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not over. It's, we're going to show you why that's important again. And I love that.
No, and the ultimate argument for Disco being out there is... We have the spore drive, so we're not affected by this warp drive thing. And if you have a ship popping up where it's needed most and helping and flying the Federation flag. That's the symbol people need to get behind. We can be. And I, because my thought was, why are they still wearing their very old uniforms? And it's like, oh, because they're a symbol. They're like,
yeah,
we represent like the Lollipop Guild. No, the my brain just would not let that one go.
I know how that goes. Yeah. And you just need to let it happen.
Yeah. But, you know, they are the, like, remember the golden age of Starfleet you hear about? We're from there.
Yeah, these are the golden age right here.
You know.
Look, there's gold on their uniforms. Show us
what they're about. You know what I mean? I like that.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I really like that. Just that, like, no, we are the guys. We are the actual, we are the Federation, you know?
Yeah, which is great, except only if they do what they're told. Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For God's sake.
We're just bopping around doing whatever the fuck we feel like.
She sees a sick alien and they say the only way to cure this is to go someplace and we can't go places. She's like, well, we can. And they're like, great, we'll take Discovery. No. We'll take Discovery.
Yeah.
And we'll go take care of it. And like, God, would you knock it off, Mike?
And I do like them being like the crew, like, the Admiral's like, well, we'll break you guys up and like reassign all of you.
Yeah.
I do like them going, do not do that. We have been reassigned to the future. We are not getting reassigned any further. But other than that, like fucking.
I understand the sentiment, but you know what? You're in the military and the military has found itself barely existing. And here's one ship that actually works. And we want to just leave it to these cave people.
Yep. That is very true.
No.
Admiral, we know how the ship works. We can do this. Well, from what I can see, all we need is this one dude who's kind of annoyed most of the time to plug in.
Oh, and that real smart big hair girl over there says she's working on a way that we don't need that guy. So
yeah, so give us a couple of months, we should not need any of you guys at all. Thanks for the ship, though.
Mm-hmm.
This is nice.
You guys should be thankful that you're still in Starfleet because your experience is almost 1,000 years out of date.
Like, we really need, the reason we need to reopen Starfleet Academy is to train you guys in how to be in Starfleet again.
Yeah, you need to forget all the incredibly archaic stuff. Like, you guys still think Jonathan Archer is a hero, for instance.
What's wrong with hero Jonathan Archer? What did he do? Oh, no.
Said the crew who showed up with a dictator as part of the compliment.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we brought a dictator with us. Why? Yeah.
I like that
I don't know. We like her for some reason.
I like that they're very familiar with the Mirror Universe. Like, oh, yeah, we know the Terrans.
The bit where Georgiou is being interrogated is the best Georgiou has been this entire season.
The thing is, when you let her just be herself and you let Michelle Yeoh camp it up, like, it's fun. I've always enjoyed it. That it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in with what the show's supposed to be, but in and of itself, it's great.
Mm-hmm. There's a bit where, so David Cronenberg is there, and I can't tell if he's a hologram or just is there.
No, he's a guy. And the only thing that bothers me about him is that he wears glasses, and there's no glasses in the future, for God's sake. But sorry,
even,
go ahead.
Even that, though, I love because Georgiou goes, why are you wearing glasses? And he goes, I don't know. They make me look smart. I like them.
Ugh.
And I'm like, same.
It's just Disco's thing of like, it's not really the future. It's just tomorrow. Like, no, come on. Stop.
It's actually pretty the future.
Anyway, go ahead.
This is the best she has been ever. Like,
well, she's being interrogated.
Yeah, she stops being like, I mean, she continues to be an asshole, but like, it makes sense. And I love David Cronenberg being like, I have put a lot of study into the Terran Empire. I know a lot about the Mirror Universe. And guess what? Maggie and Al were right. It is completely untenable. It fell apart hundreds of years ago because you can't run a society off of a bunch of maniacs doing whatever the fuck they want all the time. And Georgiou was like, it worked out really good for me.
Yeah. Two things. One I do like, which is what you said, and the fact that the distance between the two universes, whatever that actually means, I don't know, vibrational, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
Like, is getting further and further away, which we're going to deal with this later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Georgiou feels weird because she's not as close to her universe as she was, which, all right,
yes,
that's some Doctor Who barely science, but also,
yeah, fine.
It works dramatically, so I don't care. But the thing I don't like is Cronenberg, and I'm never going to remember the character's name. That's fucking Cronenberg.
I don't even know if they said it in the episode.
No, and I'm not even sure what his deal is. He might be Section 31 or something like that. I don't know. I like him, though. I like the character, and he's played well and all that. But he says they isolated a gene in Terrans that shows why they're so evil. I hate that.
That's stupid.
He's like, oh, yeah, you guys have the jerk gene. That's what makes that universe unique. What I always liked was that some event happened and put them on a different path. That's it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's turns out that you've had this set to evil the whole time.
No, that's not how alternate universes. I mean, it can be, but
I guess
my headcanon was always, no, this is the universe where Edith Keeler didn't die.
Yeah. I love the very there, but for the grace of God, go I of the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
Like we have like this great utopia, but like if one thing had changed, it would be a stupid nightmare.
A fruitopia. You know? Yes.
Exactly. I like that. That's interesting. There's something there, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, no, these people are set to evil. That's dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing Giorgio does. So, okay, we need to talk about the holograms in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Who are now very obviously holograms.
Yes, they are. They have hologram voices.
But like the fact that the hologram doctor on Voyager regularly could pass for human and we're 800 years ahead of that and now they look obviously hologrammatic doesn't really make sense to me.
I kind of like the idea that they were like, well, we got to stop them from looking so human because it's creeping people out.
That's actually
kind of weird.
That's actually what Amanda said. She said it's like an uncanny valley thing. So,
yeah.
All right. But they're all like dressed in white. One of them has a little bow tie. Like I think it's dumb, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Giorgio works out if you blink at them in their projectional frequency or whatever it is, it makes them glitch, which is fucking badass.
I love that so much. It's so cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I just like, it's like, oh, this is how the character is finally being interesting and not just annoying and stupid.
Well, again, in and of herself, she's fun. It's when you put her in the Discovery crew that I don't like it. But
yeah, she just
she was in a room by herself talking to another shady character. So it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Section 31 movie will be good.
Could I don't know. What was your bad thing?
What was my bad thing? I just think it's kind of a shame to lose Braces. Like, she just got here last season. I was really hoping she could sort of stick around, maybe do something interesting.
Well,
I said, aesthetic.
Like I said in my summary, like, we just got a little bit of backstory and, like, character, you know, like, character arc from her. So, naturally, it's time to just, So, yeah, they go to this space station and non-season people like her, like from her, I can't remember what her planet is, but like...
Braces planet.
She takes her breathy things out because it's the atmosphere that she's from. So that's cool. And actually, the Starfleet guys have like a sort of a transparent projected helmet thing, which is
cool. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
I also like her eye color changes when she takes her braces out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very subtle, but like, oh, that's neat.
It's weird that you call them braces.
I always have. I don't know what they are, but they look very headgeary to me.
Okay.
You know, not like teeth braces, but like the overhead one that don't exist anymore.
That's the thing is like, I never had those. I don't think I knew anyone with them. So like when you say braces, I'm like, they don't go on her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's a very next gen story. It's a very like, my family died and I feel grief, but I'm going to stick here, blah, 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 whatever.
I have to stay here and do the important job of protecting the seeds.
I have to protect the corpses. Like, look, I am not an unsympathetic person. I am not an uncompassionate person, but your family's dead, man. There's no reason to stay there with their remains.
Uh-huh. They mentioned that the Brace people have, like, a different sort of approach to death than we do, but they don't really go into it at all, so...
No, because they got to spend too much time, like, just looking around at stuff.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There's all these trees to look at.
Seriously, this plot takes up 10 to 15 minutes of this hour-long episode. Mm-hmm. It feels like it should have been the whole thing. It would have been boring if it was the whole thing. But,
sure.
Like, it's... I don't know. It's just... the pacing in this one, again,
yeah,
nothing really happens.
Not a whole lot going on.
And the part that where stuff does happen happens briefly. It's just, yeah, it's weird. But what she decides is, well, this place is already configured for my people. Someone needs to watch over this stuff, so I'll do it. And like, but you just got here, man.
Yeah. Like, I was really enjoying you sticking around. Like, she also, she makes like a big deal, like just an episode or two earlier, that she's here because of Arium.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, you know?
Yep. This is where I need to be. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I do
just,
know...
It feels like the actor was just like, actually, I don't want to be on the show anymore.
I don't think that's it, because the character does pop up again, like, one more time.
Oh, okay.
I know late in the season they bring her back, but but I think just once, so.
Hmm.
But it's like, I don't know. We talk about how Michael is kind of the you know, the star of the show. I mean, she is literally the star of the show, but I mean, yes, on Disco, she's like the main attraction. And anytime they name an officer on the ship and give them a personality, it's like, good, now it's more of an ensemble, which is what we like. And you've gotten rid of, like, you started building one and then you're like, nah, never mind.
Yeah. And I mean, like, this is not the first character we've lost either that just sort of wandered off.
Now, I will say this in sort of in keeping with what you're talking about, because they did kill Dr. Culber for a bit.
Yes.
And they actually, like, the guys at Starfleet
are that's
like,
so good.
So you were dead.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you're not now. Yeah, that's right.
I feel way better.
And
I also like the guy who killed me. We get along great now.
Well, I don't know about that, because that was a bag salad. And nobody really likes that guy.
Sure. Well, look, I get along really well with people I don't have to see every day anymore, like all the time.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's 1,000 years in the past. I get along with him great now.
Yeah.
But I will say he's like never been my favorite cast member, but they are making a concerted effort this season to make him more a part of the action, which I do appreciate.
I do too. I really like, it's been coming across a lot this season. He's very empathetic to people. And I like that for a doctor character.
I mean, that's like, pretty stock standard for a Star Trek doctor. And I don't mind that at all, but you know, but it's not anything we haven't seen before.
He's got these scenes with Braces where he's just like, well, I can go over here. I will do the work and stuff, and you can sort of stay here and like go through this stuff from like your culture that's clear, that clearly means something to you, you know? I like that. I like him a couple of episodes ago being the one who's like, everyone's having a real, real rough time of it. What with it being the future and all. Like, I like that that's him, you know?
Yeah. And again, that's pretty typically the role of a doctor in Star Trek, but I don't mind that. Like, it's not a bad role for him, but it's nice that they didn't just superficially bring him back and say, oh, people were mad. Okay, here he is. They're making him an active part of the action, and I like that.
No, if you bring him back, you got to give him stuff to do, you know?
He is the chief medical officer, and that historically in a Star Trek show means one of the main guys. So...
Well, and also having that personality, like being paired with Stamets, who is a little grumpy Gus, is that's also quality writing.
And then pairing Stamets with Jet Reno a lot of the time. There was some good bickering, and the Starfleet overseer, I forget her name, but she's like...
Oh, Willa.
Yeah. She's like, well, you guys hate each other. What? No. And Jet says... We don't, but I'm trying to improve the tone around here a little bit.
I really like that scene with the three of them just like doing what they do best. Like, it's such a good, such a good team, and like they're all weird in their own way. And
the other one's Tilly. We didn't say, but
yeah. I adore Jet Reno. Anytime she's on screen, I'm just like, there she is, the best character in the show.
She's up there.
There's a bit with her being interrogated.
And
she's just like, you have any snacks?
Well, it's like a montage. When they cut to Jet, she says that, and then they do one or two people, and they cut back, and she's got snacks.
She's got like those blue blue tortilla chips.
Yeah, chips and salsa.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is nice, but can I? Yeah. And then they cut to two or more people, and then they come back, and she's got her drink.
It's amazing.
Like a little juice box. Perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love her. I love her so much.
Now it's time for a nap.
Oh, this is really tiring. You guys have heard about how bad my back is, right? Like, I can go.
We had
we weren't done interrogating her, but she just got up and left.
We had an officer on board, a Spanish fellow, who introduced us to the idea of the siesta, the mid-afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And look, this developed in hot countries where it's too hot to work, but it works on Discovery. We just all have a little snooze in the middle of the day,
and it
makes us feel better, you know.
We're so much happier, just like, you know, you just give us an hour to go take a nap. Fuck, amazing.
Yeah.
I would kill someone for an hour a day to go take a nap.
It would be great. I am a person who cannot nap. When I try to, I wake up and I'm more tired than when I started, and I'm angry, and I've lost an hour, and I don't know what's going on, but I appreciate the value of it.
I am an incredible napper if I can pull it off just right.
What else?
What else indeed? Let's have a look at the old notes here.
We got another sort of 30-second acknowledgement of Detmer's PTSD.
Yep, of course.
Very briefly, like, hey, remember this? Don't forget. We'll come back to it later. So anyway.
Yeah, this is important. It's been 5 episodes.
But it's not important right now.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, yes. Go ahead.
No, please.
No, I'll get to it in a sec. This gets off topic, but...
Well, there is no topic.
Okay.
Have you heard this show before?
Fair. I love when Adira shows up at the beginning and Vance is like, okay, so you're the new host for Tal.
Tal.
That was my friend. I don't know who you are. So, and I like that as a like a very different approach from Sisko and Dax, who was very like, that was my friend.
Man.
Now you are my friend, you know?
It is, but on the other hand, I feel like 1,000 years of dealing with Trill would just be like everyone's normalized it, but I it's not bad character-wise.
It feels like a very like logical, like, this is one way, this is a completely valid other way that this could go, you know?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And it's interesting, assuming it does play out in any way, like, I don't know, these are two smaller characters, so, like, we'll see.
I watched this when it dropped 3 years ago, and I don't remember now.
This is, I believe, when I fell off the series.
Actually, it was 4 years ago, because we were still doing PA, and I was like, I don't want to review this.
Mm-hmm.
That's how annoyed I was. I was like, we need to stop now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I know...
The show should probably be over.
The fact that I know it gets better, and the fact that I know there's other good shows, too, like, that makes it okay. Like, this is going to suck for a minute, but then they'll pull it out on this series, and we'll have Strange New Worlds to talk about. So, like, you know, there's still good stuff ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to get real stupid. They actually start dropping references to one of the ways it goes stupid, which
is this the
Emerald Chain.
Oh, the Emerald Chain. Okay, what is that?
Well, it's just a group of Orions. That's it.
Oh, great.
And we'll talk about it when they show up, but they're nothing.
Uh-huh.
There is a spectrum of great sort of eccentric femme-presenting Star Trek villains, and Amanda Plummer as Vadic is at one end, and this Orion lady who shows up on the show is completely at the other.
Boo.
That's my take. Other people may feel differently, but that's my take. Let's see, what else?
Let's see. We've got, the other one that starts showing us up in this episode is the evil music that everybody seems to know.
That is such a mystery box.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everyone knows this music. What's the connection? Shrug.
Yep.
Also,
what could it be?
They remind us that they're supposed to still be looking for Mike's mom. It's like they have three or four threads of a plot, but nothing's really coalesced yet.
I really wish they had just, like, put a pin in that, like, right at the... Or just finished it off right at the beginning, because I do not care about Michael's mother at all, you know?
I do, and actually where it goes, like, there's a good episode in that, or at least maybe the episode's not good, but the concept of it is good.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Like, I know, I remember this one, and it's not so bad.
Just off the top of my head, Michael going, I need to find my mother, is just me going, I don't want you to do that. I don't care.
Well, yeah, it's not very... Like, again, it's pretty low stakes.
Mm-hmm.
And this one wants to find her mom.
Just, you know, whenever you get around to it.
We've got the only starship capable of going faster than light right now. So let's use it to find someone's mom. That's a good that's a good use of that.
Admiral, we can jump around the galaxy very quickly looking for my mother if you just let us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Like,
and if you don't let us
at all,
we're going to do it anyway.
You can't stop me. I'm Michael Burnham.
Saru will be like, she's right.
I honestly, it's just, it's not worth it. Just,
yep.
Just do whatever. Just put her in charge. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a bit where Nan says, my species is known for two things. I'm like, okay, well, you've got an old truck you like to work on. What's the other thing?
They do have an old truck they like to work on.
Yeah, I guess so.
They stole it from Tom Paris.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't know what a key is, though.
No, he does not.
All right. Anything else?
Doesn't know what a key is. Good God. Mm-hmm. I saw this on Memory Alpha, and I made a note of it because I wanted to come back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a bit where they, like, when they arrive in the new Federation, and you get a list of all of the ships that are docked there.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the USS Excalibur M, the Voyager J, which, Tilly identifies, yeah, yeah. The Armstrong, and there is also the USS Nog, which is an Eisenberg class, named after, the actor
Aaron
that played
Eisenberg,
Nog,
yeah.
Who I believe had passed away at this point.
But,
and I just think that's really sweet.
It is. I don't like that it's on a display. Like, mm-hmm. you have to freeze frame and look at it. Like, mm-hmm. they should say that out loud, or they should go on that ship. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great impulse. It's mm-hmm. just, I hate that it's an Easter egg. Like, I wish it was a little more prominent. But you know, that's still I still like that.
I would happily, if they need, like, and they always need, like, you know, a couple of background ships to be, oh, we're just in contact with the such and such.
Yeah.
You know,
here's the captain of the Nog. You know,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
It. That's all you need.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Agree. All right. Anything else?
I think that's everything.
Okay. Well, I suppose that's all for this time.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if by episode 6 anything will happen.
We'll find out together, Al.
Yeah. Like, seriously, I was like, they're still acting like they just got here, and this is mm-hmm. episode 5.
Yeah, we're really, I'm just like, God, we are still sort of like just wandering around being impressed by the fact that we're in the future, huh?
And
like, we're halfway
again,
through the season.
Again, no, we're not. It's longer than that.
Oh, is this a 12 episode?
14?
Where am I?
There's 8 more to go, so it's a 12 episode season.
Okay.
But it's like, I like that sense mm-hmm. of wonder, and I like the quiet character moments. There's a 5-minute scene at the end where Michael and Saru are basically having a philosophical debate, and I love that shit. But
yes, absolutely.
That's not an episode. That's flavor. That's a seasoning. It's not a dish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you guys need to start at least acknowledging that there's a fireworks factory.
Yeah, we're in this brand new universe that you gave us. Like, fucking, let's poke around some.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe next week. The episode is called Scavengers, so we mm-hmm. will see.
And by this point, I have no idea where the series is going. So.
No, I mean, the one after that I do know, but,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, the website, as ever, postatomiccore.com. If you want to write to us, postatomiccore@gmail. Our Patreon is reviewing episodes of Lower Decks, and we are into season 2 now. That is patreon.com/Algar. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.